All right, kiddos, come on, join me up here. How's everybody today? Good to see y'all. Good to see you too, Brother Dusty. Let's try that again. Good to see y'all. All right. All right, I got a verse for you, and then I'm going to need a couple of volunteers. Oh, I'll get to that in just a minute, but I just want you to be ready. But watch out what you might be volunteering for, okay? All right, here's the verse. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." Let me tell you what that means. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. What it means is we can't work our way to get to heaven or to get into God's favor. That His favor, His being with Him, Him saving us, forgiving our sins, that is a total gift from Him. We can't earn it and we don't deserve it. So all the work was done by Jesus. Now I'm going to show you what I mean. And I need, thank you, there, Will. You read my mind. I need two volunteers. Let's see. All right. One here and one here. Come here. I want you to take the end of this rope. Go stand right here. Okay. All right, Miss Westfield. I want you to take the other end of this rope and go as far as you can with this rope. Okay, pull it tight. All right? Not a tug of war. All right, just pull it tight so everybody can see the rope. Okay, now I want y'all to pretend that there's a deep, deep ravine down here, a cavern, kind of like I remember when I went over the New River Bridge up in West Virginia. It went way down. That's where those people bungee jump off the bridge. Yeah, that's a long way down. Just pretend it's a real deep hole right there, and you're trying to get from one side to the other. Okay? All right? I need one more volunteer. All right, come on, Lisha. Jump up here. Come on, over on this side. All right, now you're trying to get from one side to the other. All right. Now, what if I came in, Elisha, and I said, okay, I can get you a rope that's going to get you halfway. Would that be enough?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Why not, Will?
It's only halfway there,
okay. All right, so I say, okay, I'll put that rope that's halfway, and I got a rope that'll get you 75% there, 3/4 of the way there. Is that good enough?
No, because it's 3/4 of the way.
Okay, all right. Well, I got another rope here, and you know, surely you can make up the rest, right?
Yeah.
No. All right, I got a rope that's 99% of the way. It's not enough. So what I need is a rope that's going to go how far? 100%. Okay. So here's Elisha. And Elisha knows he needs Jesus to save him from his sin, so he won't fall in that deep hole. He needs Jesus to go all the way across and bridge the whole gap. Not halfway, right? Because Jesus didn't do halfway, did he?
No.
Not 3/4. Not 99%. How much? 100%. So when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, we're not depending on anybody or anything else for our salvation. It's totally a work of Jesus. And that's a gift every one of us can have in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. We pray that your word will be clear in Jesus' name. And don't go anywhere. Remember the deal I made with you last week. I have a surprise for everybody this week and today and for the next 2 weeks. If you memorize John 3:16, and after the service today, you can recite it to me. You come and get me. I will give you your prize. Okay? All right? All right, let's roll this up and y'all can go to Kid Zone. Thank you very much. You can tell me after the service. All right? We can go to Kid Zone. All right. Good to see you today. How are you? It's a blessing. I was looking around the room today and I was thinking about some of you. Some of you I've known this long and some of you I've known this long. And what a blessing you are. I hope you'll remind each other of that. These relationships on this earth, they are precious. They're precious. All right. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about choices. 2 weeks ago, we talked about choices in prayer. We're going to come back and hit that again. Have a few more things to say about that. But then last week, we talked about, choices. As we choose to pray and choose to prayer walk through our lives and let God speak to us. That's a choice. Last week we talked about the Word, getting into the Bible, and how that is a choice in our lives. We can choose God's truth or reject God's truth. We can follow the God or not God in our lives. Now today, in this series on choices, we're going to talk about having a real relationship with Jesus and being sure of it. Now, I'm going to go pretty fast for me. I want to remind you that later today, posted on our website, you can listen to this message again. And I would encourage you to do that because I'm going to give you a lot of information today. All right, John, next slide. If we're going to have a real relationship with Jesus and be sure of it, well, does the Word have anything to say about that, about having a relationship with Him? He does want us to have a relationship with Him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe on His name." Romans 10:13, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible is very clear. God is after a relationship with you, a personal relationship. We're not part of a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Religion is man taking steps up to God. Relationship is God coming to man. Secondly, the Lord also wants us to be sure of that relationship. 1 John 5:13. "These things I've written unto you, believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So, and the word "know" there means to know experientially. God wants you to know for sure. Now I'm wondering, how many of you have spent months, years of your life, like I did? I spent a whole year of my life thinking I had a relationship with Jesus, but not knowing for sure. Have you been there? God wants us to know. When I was a senior in high school, I got saved when I was 15 years old. And when I was a senior, I remember my senior English teacher, who probably should have retired a year or two before our group came to her. But she said we could give a speech in class, and she gave us a couple of minutes, and we could talk about anything. Guess what? I presented the plan of salvation. And at the end of it, I said, and God wants you to know. She came to me after class. She had this very troubled look on her face. And here is a woman in her early 60s who's been teaching all her life. And she looks at this skinny high school kid and says, "But Dusty, son, there's no way you can know for sure." And I looked back at her, and maybe I hadn't had good enough home training, but I said, I'm not going to say her name. I said, "But I can't agree with you about that, because the Bible says we can know." And ended the conversation. So, let's talk about this. First thing, go on to our next slide, John. Here is the plan of God. You've heard this before. I wish you'd memorize it. What does go-go mean? It means God's purpose. G, go. God's purpose, our need, God's provision, our response. Four parts there. Four parts. So, what's God's purpose for our lives? Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Jesus has an everlasting love for you. God has a plan for your life. He desires fellowship with you. You look back in Genesis and see when the fall came, there, you know, Adam and Eve, they have left God, and he pursues them. God does desire to spend forever with us. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Here is this Lord of the universe, creator of everything. His plan is for you. He has a purpose for you. But what gets in the way? Well, that's the second part, the O there. Our need. We have a need. Sin entered in. Sin broke that relationship in the garden. Scripture says, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned." Everybody sinned. We're sinners by nature and by choice. Since that time, every child that has been born into sin. Let me ask all you mamas, did you have to train your child to do wrong? It just came naturally, didn't it? Can't you see that two-year-old the first time standing there, you know, like Martin Luther, you know, in front of the Wittenberg door? "I shall not be moved," you know. They made their own choice. And the truth of the matter is, the scripture says in Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death. What we deserve, what we ought to get paid for our sin, is death and hell, separation from God. And we cannot save ourselves, as I quoted that Ephesians 2:8 and 9 to the kids just a moment ago. There's no way man can save himself, because man cannot cross that divide. Man needs a Savior. Get to the third part, the other G. G-O-G. God's provision. What did he do? He launched the greatest rescue mission in the history of mankind. Jesus came into the flesh. I hope you listen to that song that Gary, you know, didn't you write that song, Gary? "He came to save us from our sin." Is that one you wrote? Okay. I mean, it's all about the incarnation and about Jesus coming. He came and became a man. He was all God and all man at the same time. He died on the cross in our behalf. He lived a perfect life. 3 days he was in the grave. On the third day, the scripture says he arose. Up from the grave he arose. He then ascended, sat down at the right hand of the Father, work completed. See, God has provided for us. But the story doesn't stop there. It's the last O. Our response. We must respond to Him in faith. The good news of Jesus, the salvation that He offers to all men, women, boys, and girls, it requires a response. We must individually choose Jesus as Savior because God has no grandchildren. We must place our faith in Him. It means received Him, John 1:12, to those He gave the power to become children of God. Faith, and the word belief, actually we've watered down the word believe. The word believe that, you know, it's kind of, well, I believe I'm going, I might go and I might not go. That's not what the biblical word pistuo, which is the Greek verb, what it means. It means to throw your entire weight upon Him. Everything. No 99%. Everything. Totally throw yourself upon Him. Like my little brother, who's bigger than me now. We're down at Silver Springs. We're kids. I was 9 years old. My brother was two and a half. My mom treated us. We were going to go in the glass bottom boat thing, doing all that and around Ocala, Florida. And so we stay. I taught mom into, let's stay at a motel with a swimming pool. Ooh, that was a treat. So mom's gets us ready, and we leave the room there, the little rooms in the little motor court surrounded the swimming pool, and we're walking down there, and I dive in the pool in the deep end, and I'm surfacing and down the shallow end, and I'm turning to stand up, and I hear my mom screaming at the top of her lungs, and my brother is running. You know, he's 2 1/2, and in his little lispy 2 1/2-year-old voice, he is jumping into the deep end and he says, "Catch me, Bob!" That's faith. That's faith. You see, that's what God has asked us to do, to place our entire weight. We're not dependent on anything or anyone else for Him to save us. And we give Him, when we place our faith in Jesus, we give Him the key to our life. He is our Lord and our Master. He is the boss of our lives. So, second thing, John. The response he expects is the response of faith. But you know, like we learn in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that, not of yourself. What does that mean? That, not of yourself. What is he talking about? Even the capacity to have the opportunity to choose Him as Savior, even that is a gift from Him. God gives us the opportunity. He calls on us to respond to Him. Immediately. It doesn't take a special building, not a special time, not a special leader. He calls on you wherever you are. How many of you received Jesus in your home? How many at a revival meeting or special evangelistic meeting? How many in a in a church building like this? How many in a Sunday school class? How many at a camp? You know, you see, He's Lord over everything. God's out there and He's inviting us to come to Him. The point is not the place or the person or the time. You see, it's all about Jesus. Now, number three. So, if He's invited us into this relationship, why is it that so many of us have a problem with being sure about our relationship with Him? You see, He does not want you to be like my senior English teacher and live in perpetual doubt about your relationship with Him. That verse, 1 John 5:13 says, I write this to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know. And you underline that word know, that it is the word that means to know experientially. You may know that you have eternal life. That verse is addressed to Christians. It is written for assurance. God wants everyone who has received Him into their lives to know for certain that they have this gift and that Jesus lives in them. Now, let's look at some of the false assurances of salvation. I've heard people say, well, I believe in God. Well, James 2:19 says, you believe there's one God? Even the demons believe that and shudder. So, mere acknowledgement that there is a God, or there's a God, or that there is a Jesus, or knowing the facts about the situation, does not equal salvation. You see, He's desiring more from you than intellectual assent to a list of facts. He's talking about throwing your life into His hands. Secondly, I attend church. You know, in Amos chapter 5, verse 21, it says, I cannot stand your religious meetings. God, kind of a wake-up call that God thinks that about some of our religious meetings when we get together. But you know, if it say, well, I attend church, that makes me a Christian. I like the old Rick Warren example on that. Says, well, I went into a garage. Does that make you a car? Got it? Good. Here's another one. My parents are great Christians. We've already addressed that. God has no grandchildren. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not once removed. It's you and God. It's personal. Here's another one. I'm really a good person. Romans 3:10 says, no one is good, not even one. Good apart from what? The Bible says in heaven, there's going to be no sin. Have you ever sinned? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Someone has to do something with your sin. I read the Bible and pray. We've always just quoted it today from Ephesians. It's not by our own works. We can't do enough good things to merit God's favor. How about I was baptized? Even Paul said, I didn't send you, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Baptism is merely a statement, a response, a showing, an outward showing of something that has already happened inside you. Man, if I knew, if I thought that baptism would save me and would save people in Savannah, man, I'd get me some big boys. And we'd put a big bowl or a pool on the back of a pickup truck. We'd ride around Savannah and we'd jerk people in there and we'd dunk them under that water. I feel that strongly about people. I'd be willing to give my life for people to do that and risk bodily harm. But that doesn't change anything for them, does it? What does it do? Makes them wet and very angry. That's what they did with Constantine's armies, you know, just took them down and next, bam, next. That's not what it's about. I'm counting, here's another one, I'm counting on God being fair. Well, if he's going to be fair, that means he's going to be just, and that means we still got a sin problem. What are we going to do with it? I'm not as bad as my neighbor. Hear what the scripture says. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see it clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He's looking at you, not your neighbor. Let's look in your closet. And here's another, I could go on and on, but the last one I'm going to share with you today. I once prayed a prayer of forgiveness. Matthew 7:21 says, not anyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So, all nine of these previous statements are false. So what can a person truly base his assurance on? Number five, your assurance begins with God. For you to properly understand your relationship with Jesus, you must first realize where it started. Your relationship with Him begins in the heart of God. You see, God came to you first. You didn't come to Him first. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Now, I know you hear those testimonies where people say, well, you know, it wasn't until I was 38 years old that God came and spoke to me. That's not true, is it? Now, I understand the testimony. The way they should say it is, it wasn't until I was 38 years old and God had a 2x4 across the front of my head that I realized that God had been speaking to me all my life. I woke up. God comes to you first. You see, God always leads with His love, for God so loved the world. No one comes to Him except those who are drawn. You know what I'm talking about? You felt the Holy Spirit wooing you, showing you the love of God. John 6:65 says this from the New Living. That is what I meant when I said that people can't come to me unless the Father brings them to me. You see, your relationship with Jesus is a free gift from Him. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23 says. So, number six, what happened to you? First of all, God came to you when you were still separated from Him. Romans 5:8 says, for God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. This old junk of, I'm going to get my life cleaned up and then I come to God. That doesn't work because you can't clean your life up. That's what the blood of Jesus does. God showed you His mercy. He did not give you what you deserve. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin." He came to you with His mercy. Mercy means you didn't get what you deserved. Grace means you got something you didn't deserve. That's His love for you. He showed you His grace. He gave you what you didn't deserve. Like the little chorus goes that we sing sometimes. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Now, God gave you all the benefits of a personal relationship with Him. Here's a list of some of those things that happened to you as soon as you placed your faith in Jesus. The Son of God became your personal Savior. If you were the only person on the face of the planet, He would have died for you. You were forgiven of every sin you ever committed. He wiped your slate clean. Truly forgiven. Took your sin as far as the east is from the west. You were given a brand new life in Him. He changed you when you came to Him. You immediately became a child of God. You joined a new family. He adopted you into the family. The gift of eternal life was given to you, and the Holy Spirit of God came to take up residence in you. Now, so what's the source of your doubt? We war against an unholy threesome: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world system is against God. Each of us struggles with our own fleshly desires, and Satan is bent on our destruction. So, on this basis, here's some reasons why we might doubt our salvation. Number one, you may not have been walking in obedience to Him, and there may be sin in your life. And so, what does the devil do? He comes and he brings an accusation against you and says, "See there? That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you have sinned. You've fallen down." Secondly, Satan may have planted doubts in your mind. Let me remind you what the Scripture says, that he is a liar and the father of all lies. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." Number three, you may think this gospel message is just too simple. I can't tell you how many people in college I heard that from. And that's why, in some cases, we're educated way beyond our intelligence. And we say, "Well, it's too complicated. It's too simple. It's got to be more complicated than that. There's got to be more to it than that." But you see, when complication comes, who's got his hand on it then? Man in league with the devil. It's a simple message of salvation. Number four, another source of your doubt: you may have neglected the disciplines of a Christian life, like prayer and Bible study and worship, participation in your group and in public worship. And when we wander from those disciplines in our life, it's easy for the enemy then to bring doubts into our mind as to our relationship with Jesus. Number five, you may have questions about His work, what He's doing in the world, or life experiences There may be circumstances in your life that you don't understand. You say, well, how can he be God if? Let me ask you, do you think you can understand everything about the mind of God right now if he laid it on you? Of course not. He allows us to grow in him. Let me tell you, I've said this many times. When I got on my Uncle Charlie's 28-foot sailing vessel, that little boat, he always called it this little boat because he was in the Navy and it was on these big, tremendous ships. He said, that little boat. And he said, hoist up that sail. I did exactly what he said. Tie this over here, move it over here. And that boat started moving. We were doing 12 knots. 12 knots. Imagine that. I didn't understand where the wind came from or where it went, but it didn't stop me from raising a sail. Got it? Now, here's some simple truths for you to claim. Number one, God, listen to these now closely. God has already done all the work of your salvation through his son Jesus. Number two, you will never get good enough to deserve salvation. Now, I'm not making a case for walking around pawing the ground and saying, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, now, I understand humility. On the other hand, I understand some people use that as an excuse to never grow in their faith and trust in Jesus. He wants us. He wants us to grow in him in our confidence, our faith in him. Number three, even your capacity to trust him as Savior is a gift from him. We've always spoken of that in Ephesians 2. Salvation is a gift that can be accepted or rejected. It's a gift from God. You can never undo a completed act in the past. And someone illustrated it to me this way years ago, and so I share this illustration with you. My daddy is my father. There's nothing I can do, there's nothing he can do. He'll ever undo the fact he is my father. That is a completed act in the past. It is true. When we come into relationship with Jesus, that is a completed act. We have come, he has changed us into new people. And no doubt, nothing that comes our way, nothing that the devil can bring, will ever negate that fact. Number six, the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's 1 John 5:12. Do you have the Son? Have you invited Jesus into your life to be Lord? Number seven, we do not come to Christ knowing everything. That's why he wants us to grow. We're ignorant of so many things. But he gives us the opportunity to grow in him. I get regular pictures and videos of a certain little boy that lives in Wisconsin. Some of you know him as Finley. My first grandchild. Understand now why my daddy told me and my brother when we were fishing one day, you know, after he told us, y'all aren't the two worst fishermen in the world, but y'all will do till they come along. And then later on he told us, he was all this encouragement. He said, you know, if I'd known grandchildren was this good, I'd have skipped you knuckleheads. But I see this little boy, and I'm having all those same feelings now. And I'm saying the same things, because I believe them. But I see this little boy. I see him, you know, After he's born, I hold him in arms. You know, he needs somebody to feed him. Man, he had a birthday party yesterday. Megan gave him a birthday cake. Man, he's working that thing over. And by the way, when that sugar first hit his mouth, and I believe she's held the line and not given him too much of that. I mean, I could see it in his eyes. Forbidden fruit has come across my palate now. It's the greatest thing in the world. Where's the rest of it? And he's grabbing that and trying to stuff it in his mouth. You see, he's growing. He's growing like God expects us to. And no one, number 8, can take this gift from you. Jesus said in John 10:29, no one can pluck them out of my hand. That's Jesus. And when you translate that from the Greek, let me tell you what it exactly means precisely. And no one can pluck them out of my hand. It's exactly what it means. And finally, you may not always feel like you belong to God. You cannot base your salvation on feelings. If you're basing it on feelings today, the enemy is going to play you like a fine Stradivarius. That's a violin for some people. He's going to play because he's going to play with those feelings. Because sometimes you get up and you don't feel very good. You're in a bad mood. Or this. Let me tell you, it's not based on your feelings. It's based on what he has done for us in the finished work on the cross and rising from the dead and ascending back the Father, sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and then him receiving our, as we place our faith in him, we give it all to him. So, finally, it's time for you to make a choice. You can choose today your assurance in Christ. You can make a choice this year. I'm speaking to some of you that have struggled with this for years. I know you have, because I know in a group this size, there's got to be some. You have struggled with this for a long time. And maybe some of you have just never made the commitment in the first place. I want you to know Jesus has his arms wide open for you today. Won't you receive it? Won't you allow God to give you the assurance of your salvation today? Let's nail it down. I remember being tossed to and fro on the sea of doubt in my life for a whole year, not knowing. Feelings, measuring myself by other people, all that stuff. And finally, it was me and Jesus. Let's get it right. Now, has God spoken to you today? We're going to open the altar. Pastors are going to be here. If you'd like to come and pray today, if you'd like to talk to one of us, we're here. Was God speaking to you? Let's pray. Now, Lord, right now, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, you'll come. Come and defeat the work of the enemy that doubt will not reign, but assurance of salvation, of a relationship with you will come to this entire body. Lord, so we can be free. Free to be all you've called us to be in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. Come, if you will. Ask the high chief and his family to come up at this time. Come on over here, Dr. O'Carey. Tell us what you're about to embark upon.
He said, Johnny. we're about to move to Oklahoma and for good.
And what will you be doing in Oklahoma? Are you going over there to do taxes for people or be a garbage collector or what?
Well, we'll be going there to work, do the same job as a physician, and then secondly, to find out a new ministry that God wants us to do.
Okay, and what's the name of the group you're going to be working with?
Variety Care.
Variety
Care,
okay. And where in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, okay. Yeah. That'll be easy to remember. Yeah. And now, you're going by yourself, and Leslie has not made up her mind whether or not she's going. Come on over here, Lola. That was what I heard, was that you had not made up your mind yet. Is that true?
No, I've made up my mind. But I'm going to wait a little bit longer. So Kennedy's the person who'll be going first, and I just want the kids to finish up with school first because it'll be easier for them to adjust to the school system in Oklahoma. So we'll be here a little while longer.
All right. I can't tell you how sad this day makes me. You know, I think there's one of those pictures where Dr. O'Carey had a lot more hair. That's back when he was Swavian DeBoner. Some of you won't get that till this afternoon sometime. But I want you to know that, of course, how is it you state that when you say that I married y'all, so what?
If I will just start this way, this probably 18 years I've been here in Savannah. Came in here as a medical student. Finished a residency program at Memorial. I came here with, I'll say, a duffel bag. And it has been a great blessing to be here over this time. Came as single. Then Leslie joined me. And then Dusty joined us and said we should go into the world and multiply. So, man of God, you can see what is behind here. We've multiplied. So it has been a great blessing. We've been blessed materially. We've been blessed spiritually as well. So it's a great blessing to be here and to acquire all the skill that we needed to build our ministry, the horizon, to expand the ministry as it is today. And also for the fact that in New York, I was literally homeless as a medical student. Came in here today. I have a house to sell. So if you want to buy a house, you can come over. Came here with a duffel bag. Today I have a lot of property that I need a big truck to take my things away from here. And so it's a great blessing. And I can't just finish saying it all.
Kennedy, we love you very much, and I want you to know that our relationship with Horizon will continue, and we're going to continue to go to Nigeria. That all of that will go on. It's just it'll be a little more difficult to have lunch and talk over our plans as to what the medical trips would be like and our evangelistic trips, but that will continue. This family has meant much to our church. Of course, Dr. O'Carey's going first. Leslie and the kids will be here till the end of school, and you'll have a chance to speak to them. But things you want to say to Dr. O'Carey, you might be thinking about doing that today. But I'm going to invite you now. We have something that we're going to give Dr. O'Carey, but I invite you now to come on down. We're going to pray over Dr. O'Carey and his family right now. And those of you who'd like to come and lay hands on. It is the custom of this body, any servant of the Lord, to send them out. And so that's what we're going to do today. Dr. O'Carey, we're going to anoint all of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the adventure of these years. as Kennedy has shared and given you praise, how you have blessed him and his family. Lord, it is you that has been behind this. And Lord, as you're expanding your kingdom, I'm asking you, Lord, as they will go to Oklahoma City, that you will open up opportunities there to expand the kingdom of God. And Lord, as we continue to cooperate according to your spirit as we go to Nigeria with the gospel, Lord, and be a part of things there, we're asking you, Lord, to lead us by your spirit, that we'll feel that and know that. God, I thank you for this man. I thank you for this woman and what they mean to us today. Lord, their friendship, Lord, the adventures that we have had, and Lord, we look forward to more adventures in the future. And Lord, though it's very difficult for me to let go of him, Lord, as you are prying him and his family out of our hands, Lord, we know that it is for your purposes that is larger than our personal interests. And so, Lord, we ask you, send them out now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Send them out with that unction of God upon their life. Send them out, Lord, according to the love of Christ our Savior and under the authority of you, Yahweh, our Father. We bless your name today. Lord, we look forward to multiplying the kingdom of God as they go out from our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if y'all just park the Jordan there, let me get through. Wait right here. O'Carey family. Now, Dr. O'Carey, I've got two things to give you. One is every doctor needs a pen that people lust after when they come in his office and will try to steal from you. So we tried to get one that's gold and silver. So you'll remember us when you're writing those prescriptions. And my mother started giving me, and my dad started giving me luggage when I was in 10th grade. Took me about 7 years to get it. But that isn't why we're giving you this. This little carry-on bag, so you'll remember us. Okay? And think about that, because you travel a lot.
That's right.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
All right. And I'm going to ask y'all, if you will, to come to the back there, you and Leslie. Kids don't have to do that if you don't want to. And so everybody can shake your hand on the way out today, okay?
All right.
Y'all go on back. All right. Was it they said on Hee Haw? We're through singing now. God bless you. Sick 'em.